Today is Dingus Day, a Polish celebration of the end of Lent, and in northern Indiana, a big deal in political circles. 50 years ago, South Bend experienced one of its biggest Dingus Day events when Senator Robert Kennedy visited while campaigning for the Indiana presidential primary. Indiana was a must-win for Bobby Kennedy in 1968. Lyndon Johnson had just announced he would not run, and Kennedy was too late for early primaries. Indiana was his first chance to prove he could get votes. Earl Graves Sr. was an administrative assistant to Kennedy at the time. He gave an oral history to the JFK Presidential Library in 1969.
They got out into Indiana, which was the first effort, and realized that they still had time to run a registration effort, and they still had time to rally persons who normally did not vote in a primary.
The senator from New York spent most of April in Indiana. His first visit to South Bend was on April 4th with speeches at the St. Joseph County Airport and the University of Notre Dame. Joel Connolly was on the school paper The Observer at the time. He remembers Chuck Now, the head of the student body academic commission, introducing Kennedy.
"Today I give you the ultimate," he said, "the next president of the United States. And I guess for a college student to introduce somebody that way is a great, great ego rush. But Kennedy got a very strong ovation."
Estimates at the time put the crowd inside Stepan Center that day at around 5,000, with at least 1,000 more left outside.
"The place was packed."
That's John Hickey. He's a 1969 graduate of Notre Dame.
It was just wild. It was a mob scene. And I had the opportunity to sit up on the edge of the stage when he was chatting. So I was probably no further than 20 feet from him when he talked.
"What was that like?"
"It was electric. It really was. Students were pretty progressive back in the day, and Kennedy was just the ticket they were looking for."
Most of those students couldn't vote, though. The voting age in 1968 was 21. Kennedy then went from Notre Dame to the county home to visit some more senior voters. Jack Caldwell was a political writer for the South Bend Tribune at the time.
"Kennedy was really amazing in his appeal to various groups. You would think maybe college kids and people in the old folks' home would not necessarily be swayed by the same type of approach."
But they were. Kennedy drew crowds to the sides of roads when his motorcade came through, at the airport, and at his speeches. Less than 2 weeks later, when he came to Dingus Day, estimates in Caldwell's Tribune articles put the crowd at his speech at the courthouse over 6,000, and the West Side Democratic Club had more than 1,500 inside. He greeted crowds in English and brought along his brother-in-law, Stanislaw Radziwill, a real Polish prince. Kennedy called up Ken Fetter, who had worked for the U.S. Attorney's Office and was working for the St. Joseph County prosecutor at the time.
"He asked me what my thoughts are, since he's going to be in South Bend. Would it be a good idea, or would I suggest, or would I like to see the prince come?" And I said, "Well, certainly. In fact, he may outscore you."
Radziwill greeted the crowd in Polish, and later in the day, Kennedy sang the Polish song Sto Lat, or May You Live 100 Years. The Polish prince in Dingus Day paid off for Kennedy. He carried Polish precincts in the city with more than 60% of the vote. From South Bend, he went to Mishawaka, Michigan City, and Gary. Crowds along the way pulled Kennedy out of the convertible and onto the pavement where he cut his lip. He got back in and was as enthusiastic as ever. Caldwell was in the car with Kennedy that day, and he says he was slapped and pushed over and spent most of the ride on the floorboards for safety while Kennedy reached out to shake all the hands thrust his way. Caldwell says he did get an honest moment of doubt from Kennedy during that ride.
"Bobby Kennedy turned to me and he said, 'Well, you've asked me a lot of questions on these rides. Could I ask you one?' And of course I said, 'Well, certainly, Senator.' And what he wanted to know was, he said, 'Can you tell me candidly, do you think I have a chance to win?'"
Kennedy's message across the campaign was, "Help me, and with your help, we can turn this country around." Some of the issues Kennedy campaigned on, gun violence, healthcare, poverty, and race relations, are still issues Americans grapple with today. Caldwell says parallels between 1968 and 2018 are pretty obvious.
"Country is split again, just as it was back then over the war in Vietnam and civil rights and the other problems. And I think also the country now, as it was then, is looking for some leader who could unify. At that time, they thought it was Kennedy, and perhaps he would have been if he had lived. But, of course, we'll never know."
Kennedy went on to win the Indiana primary and several others before being assassinated in Los Angeles on June 5th, following a victory speech after the California primary. Caldwell says the reaction was shock.
There were a lot of people, just they could hardly believe it. As I said, that, not again. How could this happen again? What's happening to the country? Is everything going to be decided by bullets instead of ballots? What will be, how can we end this?
At the time, the Reverend Ted Hesburgh, president of Notre Dame, said in statement, Robert Kennedy's service to the nation during the past decade, culminating in his tragic death, surely earns for him a patriot's place in history. Caldwell's column on that day read, "Those who waited that night were here to wave, to cheer, or just to look, not to shoot. But anybody intent on assassination easily could have waited in the dark by any house or any tree or any building, or he could have gone right out to the curb to shake the candidate's hand as he fired." Kennedy campaigned on a platform of peace and equality. He is remembered in Michiana as a man who came here to ask for help and who shook as many hands as he possibly could. I'm Jennifer Weingart, WVPE News.